booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, I think we actually may have to amend that opening from the announcer. I am Frank Morano on the WABC Early News, but it should really be amended to say, here's the award-winning Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, that's very sweet of you, Franklin. I appreciate
well,
that.
You are the proud recipient of a very prestigious award. Tell folks what award you're the recipient of.
It's the Gracie Award, and it is given out to women in media and women in television and women in radio. And it basically, I won for the local radio, large market, frontline reporting, and that was for the coverage of the January 6th Capitol riots when I was still doing the Curtis and Juliet show, which happened to be the last 2 days that I was doing the show, which is so ironic. But yeah, so it's pretty cool. I've actually never entered any of these competitions before. I never entered for the Emmys because at Fox, when you were at Fox National, Roger Ailes had some issue with the Emmy Award Committee or something like that. So we weren't allowed to enter. And I just never did after that when I was even in local. So this was the first time I had entered. So I'm pretty excited. I mean, 52 years into my life, and I'm finally getting an award.
Well, that is very impressive and absolutely well deserved. And although I will say, it doesn't seem fair that men can't compete for the Gracie Award.
Well, don't start with that, please.
No, okay.
But also, I want to say congratulations to you, Frank Morano, and the boys in the morning because you guys got into the Talkers Heavy 100. Now, is this the first time? This is Talkers Magazine. It is sort of the Bible, I guess you could say, for radio, and every year they come out with their Heavy 100, which is the top hosts and radio shows. And is this the first time that you've gone in?
It's the first time I've made it. I know Bernie and Sid make it every year. I know you've been in there before. It's old hat for you. But it's funny. When the list came out, I'm reading. I said, let me take a look. Let me see if I made it. I looked through the first 25. Okay, I didn't make it. All right. I looked through 25 through 50. All right, I didn't make it. Let me go look through 50 through 75. Okay, well, I'm probably not going to make it. I'm scrolling down 76, 77, 80, 90. Okay. I definitely didn't make it. And then right before the end, number 94, the Frankster.
Frank, I'm so proud of you. I really am. You have that. That is going to be, you will be in the top 10, I have a feeling, very, very soon. You host a great show. You are, again, I've said, the best interviewer, I think, around out of any platform, any medium. You're going to be a huge star.
Well,
you already are a star.
You're very kind. I clearly have been smart enough to hang around with some Gracie Award winners. Am I right?
Well, I mean, lucky you.
Exactly.
Really quick, though, I do have to mention something real fast. Of course, Christian and Gabby are here today at the controls, and Sid is up at 15 and 45 with sports. You know, when you were harassing these poor people running for comptroller, the reason it sounds like they're saying the P is because when you say comptroller, you're closing your mouth, your lips. So naturally, it's going to sound like you're saying comptroller.
So I guess there's three possible pronunciations, and if people don't know what Juliet and I are talking about. Towards the end of last hour, I was playing the audio from the controller debate that Dominic Carter did a great job hosting yesterday afternoon. I always thought the proper pronunciation was controller, meaning as if it was spelled controller. Some people, like Dominic Carter, for instance, who's been around the block, he pronounces it full M, full P, comptroller. But what you're saying is the hybrid pronunciation of not comptroller, not controller, but comptroller.
Comptroller, yeah, but when you're saying it fast, that your lips are closed when you say
So, but you think the proper pronunciation is comptroller?
I've always said comptroller. Right. But okay. See, that sounds like I'm saying P because I close my lips.
Right.
When
I get what you mean. Okay.
But also another little thing. Today is Thursday, June 10th. By the way, 1 week till I head to Italy to start shooting original content. You know, for my Jet Set Juliet travel show, and I will make sure to stop Frank at a pizzeria the moment I get there to ask the locals how they say pizzeria, because they probably say pizzeria.
Wonderful.
Just
well,
like you.
I will eagerly await that report. I'm also eagerly awaiting reports as to how the Verrazano Bridge daily construction debacle will delay my trip home today. Joe Nolan has traffic and transit on the 7s. Hello, Joe.
Joseph.
Joe's intimidated being on with a Gracie Award winner.
Talkers Heavy 100.
Yes, that's right.
Talkers Heavy 100.
That's right.
By the way, in your Jet Set Julia travel update, we'll get to traffic momentarily. In your Jet Set Julia travel update at 540, you've booked your summer cruise, right? But will you actually be able to go? Major tug of war going on between the governors of two states and the CDC, and cruise lines and you passengers are caught in the middle. This is such a disaster, I'm telling you. But let's get to the weather, shall we? From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, it's going to be a nice day today. 82 degrees, sun with some puffy clouds around. Really looks pretty cool, actually, outside. 73, cool as in, like, hey, cool. 73 degrees tomorrow. This is great. Cloudy, but again, doesn't look like there's going to be any rain on the horizon. Saturday, 73 degrees. The sun pops out, looking really nice. Sunday, it'll be cloudy in the morning, and then in the afternoon, we'll have some on and off rain showers. I don't think we're going to be dealing with any thunderstorms, but we will be having some rain here and there. It'll continue through Sunday night into Monday morning, and by Monday afternoon, we should have just clouds, no rain. Currently, the temperature in New York City is 77 degrees.
All right. Well, quite a bit happening locally and nationally as well. Let me tell you about some of that. The nation's top expert on the coronavirus says attacks on him are attacks on science. Dr. Anthony Fauci blasted those who've been pushing for him to be fired, calling it totally preposterous. Critics accuse the 80-year-old of reversing his views on how COVID began and on wearing masks. The director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases defended his record on NBC News, stressing his views on COVID haven't changed. Just this week, Senator Rand Paul was on the Cats at Night program right here on the station, stressing the need for Dr. Fauci to be fired. Thus far, President Biden has given no indication that he will.
Let's head over to New Jersey now. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says 72% of all eligible residents have received at least one dose of the COVID vaccine. Let's get to WABC's Bob Brown for more.
Murphy says the vaccine continues to be most effective in terms of avoiding serious symptoms and outcomes.
The data shows those who are testing positive or entering our hospitals or dying, sadly, are now most likely overwhelmingly those individuals who have not been vaccinated.
COVID hospitalizations are the lowest since early October of 2020. I'm Bob Brown for 77 WABC News.
Thank you very much. And Marjorie Taylor Greene is an unabashed conspiracy theorist. And once again, she is going out there. She's bashing science. We're going to get to that in a moment. And she's also threatening America's top virologists. We'll talk about all of this at the bottom of the hour. But in the meantime, we're getting a little more detail on exactly what is on the agenda for President Biden when he sits down, Frank, with the other world leaders starting at the G7 summit on Saturday. Huffington Post reporting the president will focus on cybersecurity, Russian-based hacking, the jailing of Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny, and Russian interference in the U.S. elections when he sits down with Vladimir Putin in Geneva next week. But Biden is also reportedly joining forces with British Prime Minister Boris Johnson. I'm telling you about this the last few days, in rallying allies on COVID and on China, getting tough on China. Now, yesterday was the first time Biden stepped foot on foreign soil as president. And insiders say he's also looking to repair damage done to relationships with our allies by former President Donald Trump and the America First agenda. Meantime, the agendas of other nations are beginning to flesh out publicly. Germany is reporting to basically try to maintain this U.S. troop presence there. And France, meantime, well, they are getting a little bit tough with the U.S. as the U.S. got tough with them in the last 4 years under the Trump administration. They feel that the U.S. is not as trustworthy as it once was and will reportedly push for more EU-centric autonomy and less reliance on the U.S.
The world's largest meat supplier confirms it paid an $11 million ransom to resolve a cyber attack. JBS had to shut down all its beef processing plants across the nation last week. The company revealed it paid the money to prevent any more disruption or potential risk to customers, calling that a difficult decision. It says forensic investigations are still ongoing, but doesn't believe any data was compromised.
All right. The follow-up to this story that I believe it was you brought yesterday to the folks. The New York Times is adamantly defending one of its editorial board members. Mara Gay is her name. She is African-American, and she recently appeared on MSNBC talking about how she was disturbed seeing pro-Trump pickup trucks flying American flags with anti-left-wing messages and expletives. But she also just said she was disturbed to see trucks and cars carrying flags that are U.S. flags, which was a little disconcerting to hear. The Times says her comments were taken out of context, seeming to suggest, this is actually kind of what I said yesterday, which was there was a large portion of the country that felt leading up to the election that the right co-opted the flag, implying that the people who didn't support Trump were anti-American. Gay herself responded to these angry attacks on social media. She tweeted, "I see I'm being trolled with the American flag this morning." I guess people were sending her pictures of the American flag. "Trolling a black journalist with the American flag is not the own. Some people think it is."
And I will tell you that there was a very interesting debate on this subject last night on the Rita Cosby show, where you had Bo Deedle representing the anti-Mara Gay side of the equation, and you had our own chief legal counsel, Emily Panko, representing the pro-Mara Gay side of the equation. And it was a really interesting discussion, and Rita did a great job allowing both of them to be heard. So if people didn't get to hear that, I would encourage them to check out the podcast at WABCradio.com, and Rita certainly does a great job every night.
Wow, I'm definitely interested in that.
Yeah, it was really well done.
What was the general gist of Emily's feelings?
It was basically, look, I'm not nearly as articulate as Emily is, but it was basically how Donald Trump and his supporters have co-opted the American flag as a symbol. But I'm not doing justice to how she phrased the argument.
Okay. All right. So, well, I'm curious to hear
people should listen to the podcast.
Definitely.
All right. Before we get to Sid Rosenberg in sports, let me tell you about a Florida high school that's being allowed to sell its yearbook again after officials hit the pause button. They had to review complaints about a two-page section dedicated to the Black Lives Matter movement. The yearbook advisor at West Broward High fought back, saying advocating for one group doesn't mean attacking another. The yearbook now contains an insert that says any political views expressed are not sponsored by the district.
All right. On that note, let's get over to our buddy Sid Rosenberg, a.k.a. Hollywood, a.k.a. Sid, who will soon be on the Wendy Williams show. I believe this is tomorrow.
I'm actually taping it today. They're going to pick me up at the studios 11:45 this morning. We start taping at 12. It will air Channel 5, 10 o'clock in New York tomorrow morning, and Channel 9 at 3 p.m. tomorrow afternoon.
So, how exciting.
I've never met Wendy. I've talked to her a million times the last couple of weeks. I'll meet her for the first time today, so that should be fun.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Good for you.
More good news, Juliet, is the Mets, Frank Morano's favorite baseball team. They came out last night after losing badly two nights ago, and they bludgeoned the Orioles 14-1. If you're a Met fan and a Matt Harvey fan, the Mets may mean the end of Harvey's career. No kidding. They've now bashed him twice in the last month. They really beat him up badly last night. He's pitching to a 14 ERA over his last four starts. Mets hit six home runs in this game. Billy McKinney and Pete Alonso each homering twice. And again, behind T'Juan Walker. Easy win for the Mets. 14-1. They are now at 30-24. 3.5 up on the Atlanta Braves and 4 up on the Phillies. Good news for the Yankees as well. They get their second straight win in Minnesota against the Twins. And much like the Mets, the Yankees used the home run to win last night.
Stanton hits that in the air to center field, and wow, watch it fly! My goodness, what a bomb from Giancarlo Stanton.
He had two of them last night. He's got 11 on the season. Aaron Judge's 15th home run. Miguel Andujar homered for the fifth time in eight games. Yankees used four home runs. Mets used six. Yankees beat the Twins 9-6. Garrett Cole gets the win. He's now 7-3. The Yanks improved to 33-29. They're in third place, 5.5 behind Tampa Bay and 4 back of Boston. But the big news this morning is the New York Islanders. They move on now. They're now just one series win away from playing for the Stanley Cup. They beat the Bruins last night 6-2 to win that series in six games. Brock Nelson scored twice for the Isles. Tampa Bay is up next. Here's Brock Nelson on Tampa.
I don't think anybody has been sitting here thinking about revenge on Tampa. Just trying to take it each game, each series, one at a time. Now we can kind of turn the page and turn our focus to them. They're obviously a great team, defending champs here again. So it'll be a good battle.
NBA out west last night, the two-seed Suns clobbered the Nuggets 123-98. Phoenix leads that series 2-0. And for Milwaukee tonight, Game 3, the Nets and the Bucks. The Brooklyn Nets have a commanding 2-0 lead in that series. Sports at 15:45, brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out at peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. With sports, I'm Sid.
All right. With traffic sitting in for Joe Nolan at 517, here's Jeff Frum.
Well, starting off the Thursday morning ride, we've got a big jam on the Cross Bronx Expressway with an eastbound wreck out by the Sheridan. Two lanes are blocked, and bumper-to-bumper traffic goes back to the Deegan. Also in the Bronx, westbound Bruckner, watch out for early morning construction, right lane closure out by the Bronx River Parkway. And if you're traveling in off Long Island this morning, there is a westbound wreck on the Southern State Parkway, a couple lanes shut down right by exit number 21. This report sponsored by Spectrum Business. Starting a new business? Tune in to free webinars designed to help get you started. Brought to you by The Score, the nation's largest network of volunteer business mentors, and Spectrum Business. Register at spectrumbusinessinsights.com/webinars. I'm Jeff Fromm from the WABC Traffic Center.
Thank you very much, Jeff. We've got Frank's business report coming up. What are we looking at, Frank, today?
We are looking at weekly jobless claims.
Oh, goody. And also, coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40, some advice for folks thinking about booking a cruise this summer. One word, wait.
This is the WABC Early News.
5:20, it is 77 degrees, 77 WABC degrees to be precise. The opening bell rings this morning after a down day on Wall Street. At the close, the Dow Jones lost 152 points. The S&P 500 fell almost 8 points, but still remained within striking distance of an all-time high despite the losses. The NASDAQ dipped 13 points to finish the day. Many of the meme stocks had a tough day yesterday as well. Clover Health Investments dipped almost 24% after doubling in value at one point on Tuesday. AMC also pulled back about 10%, and Wendy's fell just under 13%. The weekly jobless report and the May inflation rate are both due this morning. Economists are forecasting a 0.5% bump in inflation over April and a 4.7% rise over May of 2020. The numbers will be out at 8:30 this morning, along with the first-time claims for unemployment benefits. Analysts expect to see 365,000 Americans filing initial jobless claims last week, down from 385,000 the week before, Juliet.
Thank you very much. An historic moment yesterday in Nassau County. The first black DA is sworn into office. Bob Brown has the story.
An official ceremony at the Nassau County Supreme Court was held to swear Joyce Smith in as acting county district attorney.
It is an amazing honor. It's a privilege that I don't take lightly.
In addition to becoming the county's first black DA, Smith is also just the third woman to hold that office. She didn't comment if she'll run for district attorney in a special election expected in November. I'm Bob Brown for 77 WABC News.
And by the way, if you've watched Dateline, Frank, or any of those true crime shows, you've probably seen her. I mean, you probably heard about her if you've been watching the news. The so-called cult mom, Lori Vallow. She and her husband, Chad Daybell, were indicted last month on murder and conspiracy charges in connection with the deaths of their exes, at least one of their exes, and Lori's own young children, 17-year-old Tylee and 7-year-old JJ. It's been a truly bizarre story involving murderous family members and an apocalyptic cult, the prosecutors say, was designed by the couple to justify the killings, which is just horrifying. On Tuesday, the case against Vallow was put on hold after the court ruled that she lacked fitness to proceed. She is being held in a health facility for up to 3 months while she is observed.
A major grocery chain is putting out the Help Wanted sign today. Kroger will be holding a job fair to hire 10,000 workers. Positions are available in retail, e-commerce, pharmacy, manufacturing, and logistical operations. Those interested can score an interview in-store and virtually, with the average pay being $15.50 an hour. The company operates under such brands as Ralph's, Fry's, Dillon's, Fred Meyer, and Harris Teeter.
Wow, I didn't realize it.
Neither did I.
Under that umbrella, holy moly. Well, Twitter isn't just biased, it is evil. This is according to former President Donald Trump. He posted several messages about the social media website on which he's been banned, as you know, since the U.S. Capitol attack in January. Now, both Twitter and Facebook claim that his posts both before and after the riots encouraged violence. In one post recently, the former president praised Nigeria's leadership for banning Twitter after it deleted a post from the country's president, after Twitter deleted a post from the country's president for breaking the rules. President Muhammadu Buhari's post centered around Nigeria's civil war nearly 50 years ago, but also included what Twitter perceived to be a veiled threat against the people backing a secessionist movement. In response, Trump said, quote, "Who are they to dictate good and evil if they themselves are evil?" Now, he's referring again not to the secessionists or to the Nigerian government, but to Twitter. He prodded other countries to follow suit and ban Twitter and Facebook as well.
Facebook, speaking of which, is reportedly planning to debut a smartwatch next summer. The Verge says it'll have two cameras that can share photos and video directly to social media. One camera is mostly for video calls, while the other can be used when the watch is detached from the steel frame. The social media giant is also said to be working with wireless carriers to ensure users won't have to pair the watch with a phone to use its features.
We have a royal alert. I think I have two today, Frank. I know that you prefer more, but I've limited it to two.
Yeah, no, I think two is a good royal quota.
Okay. Her Majesty, Queen Elizabeth II, is getting ready to meet her 13th occupant of the White House, President Joe Biden, and, of course, his wife, First Lady Jill Biden, will be there as well. This is happening at Windsor Castle on Sunday after the conclusion of the G7, which he is attending starting Saturday along the Cornish coast. This will be the Biden's first overseas trip, as you know, since taking office, and his first meeting with the Queen as president. Now, Frank, you are a great trivia guy. Do you have any idea if he has, in the 50 years that he's been in Washington, met the Queen?
That's such a good question. I don't know the answer to it. My assumption would be yes.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I would think so, but you never know. During her reign, the Queen has been treated to a record 5 state dinners at the White House. That's more than any other monarch or head of state, according to the White House Historical Association.
She did visit in the Obama administration, so I would assume that he met her then, right?
You would think, but maybe you never know.
Yeah, I mean, you think President Obama would have been embarrassed by Joe Biden and not wanted him to interact with the Queen?
Well, maybe Biden was doing something else that night.
Yeah. No, I bet you he's met her before.
I would assume.
A Virginia family is turning an embarrassing situation into a positive. An 18-year-old says her dad recently dumped 80,000 pennies onto their front yard as his final child support payment.
Oh, my God.
So she and her mom decided to use the money for something good. All of the pennies were collected and donated to the Safe Harbor Domestic Violence Center to help other families in need.
What a monster. Ugh. How evil.
Well, it's certainly not nice.
That's just cruel.
I mean, there's a lot of fathers that don't even pay child support. So,
that's basically just one big middle finger up at both the mother and the daughter.
Right. I think you're probably right. But I have no idea what's going on in this couple's relationship, but I think it's very nice that this family is donating this money to such a worthy cause.
Yes, I do too. All right. Well, it's time now for traffic and transit on the sevens. And who is joining us today?
Jeff Frum.
Hi, Jeff.
Well, starting off the Thursday morning ride, we've got a big jam on the Cross Bronx Expressway with an eastbound wreck out by the Sheridan. Two lanes are blocked and bumper-to-bumper traffic goes back to the Deegan. Also in the Bronx, westbound Bruckner, watch out for early morning construction, right lane closure out by the Bronx River Parkway. And if you're traveling in off Long Island this morning, there is a westbound wreck on the Southern State Parkway, a couple lanes shut down right by exit number 21. This report sponsored by Spectrum Business. Starting a new business? Tune in to free webinars designed to help get you started. Brought to you by The Score, the nation's largest network of volunteer business mentors, and Spectrum Business. Register at spectrumbusinessinsights.com/webinars. I'm Jeff Fromm from the WABC Traffic Center.
Thank you, Mr. Fromm. Coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40, drama between the CDC and the governors of Florida and Texas are leaving cruise ship passengers scrambling for backup plans, and I got to tell you, they may need them. But first, your top headlines.
From around the world to around the block, this is your 77-second news update from the RSCSolutions.com news desk on WABC.
I'm Juliet Huddy with your 7 headlines in 77 seconds. An historic achievement for Maxim magazine's latest cover girl. Singer Teyana Taylor is the first black woman to be declared sexiest woman alive. And dramatic information on the oceans. How many are there? If you guessed four, you would be wrong. A fifth ocean is added to the prestigious list, the Southern Ocean. I'll tell you about it. Jeff Bezos's plan to be the first billionaire to head to space may have just been foiled by another billionaire, my guy, Sir Richard Branson. And Marjorie Taylor Greene attacks science and Dr. Fauci, threatening him with criminal charges while chatting with Trump ally Steve Bannon. Plus, we have the alleged, former president lashing out again, this time on Twitter. He says it should be banned worldwide, just like the Nigerian government has banned it. And as we continue to follow what's happening over with the president visiting the G7, folks over in Cornwall are getting ready for this huge presidential visit. It starts tomorrow. That's when they're kind of gearing up for it, but the actual meetings begin on Saturday. And a major COVID milestone for New Jersey as more than 70% of residents have gotten their first vaccine dose. And that is your 77-second news update from the RSCSolutions.com news desk, where Mark Arzamanian will put you to work. I'm Juliet Huddy. The early news with Frank and me continues.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Welcome back, everybody, to WABC's Early News. The news time right now is 5:29. Hey, Frank, on this day, June 10th, my mother-in-law, Audrey Lawrence, was born. So happy birthday. Yay.
Happy birthday, Audrey.
Yes, and in 1610. Now, she is a little bit younger than that. But on this day, June 10th, 1610, Dutch settlers arrived from New Jersey to colonize Manhattan Island. And then just 82 years later, the Salem witch trials began in the colony of Massachusetts. Bridget Bishop was the first to be hanged.
Wow. I had no idea. Wow.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to Audrey.
Yes, she's wonderful. And by the way, coming up in my Jet Set Julia travel update, Friends fans are freaking out over the cruise of a lifetime. I'm going to tell you how you can book your passage on the one when they went on a cruise. I swear to God, that's what they're calling.
No, that's funny. That's clever. Beachgoers in Maine are coming back with dirty feet, but it's not dirt. WMTW-TV reports that after multiple instances of stained feet at beaches, retired NOAA oceanographer John Lillibridge stopped by one of the beaches and collected a sample of the dark substance left in the sand. After putting the sample under a microscope, it turned out to be a mass of dead bugs collected from the water.
Come on.
The York County Parks and Recreation Department says they're looking into the matter. No word yet on what type of insects washed up on the shore.
Hold on a second. Hold on. People couldn't tell that their feet were dirty with bugs?
Apparently not.
Okay, that is right up there with the cicadas. That is absolutely horrific.
Yeah, you're not looking forward to those cicadas, I could tell.
No, there aren't going to be any cicadas,
okay.
Frank. Not
I hope
in my
so
area.
For your sake.
No, they're not going to be because they're not going. They would have already hatched at this point. They would have been flying around. They're not. So tease me all you want. Not happening.
I'm not teasing.
Well, it's not happening. Talk about a fall from grace. Argentine golf champ Angel Cabrera. Is it Angel or Angel?
I don't
I
know,
Angel,
honestly.
Right?
I'm not a golf aficionado.
Yeah, Sid would know this, but I'll do Angel. He's been expedited from Brazil back home, fast-tracked to face trial for domestic violence. I got to tell you, this is really something. The 51-year-old has been sitting in a Brazilian jail cell since January when authorities arrested him on an Interpol warrant. The move stems from assault claims that were filed by his former girlfriend, his ex-wife, and another partner. All three women are accusing him of assault and intimidation. One of the victims said he needed to be stopped because he thinks you're his for the rest of your life and you have to take attacks and humiliation. And, this guy could be in big trouble.
That's for sure. Man. Vice President Harris's senior advisor says they're looking into an incident where a woman lied to the VP about being a reporter. The fake reporter identified herself as Maria Fernanda from Univision. The woman apparently snuck into a press conference in Mexico City on Tuesday and told Harris she had voted for her. The woman then asked Harris what message of hope she could offer to women of color on both sides of the U.S.-Mexico border. The president of Univision tweeted the video interaction between the two and clarified that Fernanda is not a part or associated with the media organization.
How strange.
Very.
She was at one time the rebel of Florida's Department of Health. Now, Rebecca Jones is ready to take her fight to the big boys. The data scientist says she is thinking about running for Congress against Representative Matt Gaetz, who she referred to as a child sex trafficker. Gaetz, of course, has been accused of having sex with a 17-year-old whom he paid to travel across state lines, among other allegations. So in this Instagram post of Ms. Jones's, she also railed against Florida's governor. She claims Ron DeSantis fired her because she wouldn't manipulate COVID data to make the state's outbreak seem better than it was. A DeSantis spokesperson says Jones was fired because of insubordination.
Well, an old gadget is making a comeback thanks to Lego. The toy brick company announced a new set that allows builders to put together a typewriter. It has more than 2,000 pieces and includes moving keys and cartridges, but it's not going to be cheap. With a starting price of $200, the general release is scheduled for July 1st. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So we've got some information on the Tribeca Film Festival. Bob Brown has a report on that. I know that you have had something in the Tribeca Film Festival.
That's right. I produced a film. I was one of the producers of a film called Get Me Roger Stone, which people can still watch on Netflix. We had our premiere at the Tribeca Film Festival, I guess, 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, that must have brought you some nice bank.
You know what? Not as much as you might think.
Well, it should have.
Thank you.
Well, anyway, the Tribeca Film Festival is underway with 13 simultaneous screenings of In the Heights, which is that Lin-Manuel Miranda piece, all in five boroughs. And WABC's Bob Brown has the scoop.
Governor Cuomo says the festival, now in its 20th year, is bringing everyone together post-COVID.
This is the reopening of New York. We are back.
At the height of COVID, festival organizers had discussed hanging movie screens from the Brooklyn and Manhattan bridges in order to keep the festival going. This year, Tribeca featuring 66 movies along with TV shows, live music, games, and podcasts. I'm Bob Brown for 77 WABC News.
Thank you, Bob. Also, an historic Maxim Hot 100 issue. Guys, I know a lot of you love to Google the beautiful women featured in this particular edition. Especially the person who was on the cover, deemed the sexiest woman alive. And that honor this year goes to singer, actress, choreographer Teyana Taylor, who happens to be the first black woman to get the nod. She posted a message on Instagram saying simply, "Somebody pinch me." The 30-year-old is, I didn't know this, a 30-year-old is married to hoop star Iman Shumpert. The two have two kids, both daughters. Other notables include Megan Thee Stallion, model Cindy Kimberly, and Maxim Classic, of course, J-Lo. The magazine has received some flack in the past for not having enough minorities in the top brackets. She and her hubby will be appearing in an upcoming reality series on the E! Network called We Got Love, Teyana and Iman. She also says she's working on a series about Dionne Warwick.
Oh, congratulations to her.
Yes.
A missing high school class ring is back on a Michigan woman's finger after almost 50 years. Mary Gazelle Beardsley told WNEM-TV she thought her class ring was gone forever after she lost it in 1975. That's until a stranger named Chris Nord messaged her on Facebook saying he had found it 20 years ago. Nord said he had recently decided to turn to social media to find the ring's owner, and ultimately he did.
Time for traffic on the sevens with Jeff Fromm.
Well, so far this morning, traffic rather light across the Hudson, not seeing any slowdowns coming into town. But if you're traveling off the GWB out to the Cross Bronx Expressway this morning, bumper-to-bumper traffic kicks in just beyond the Deegan. It's an eastbound wreck out by the Sheridan, the right lane and shoulder blocked. There's also construction on the Bruckner, westbound delays between the Bronx River Parkway and the Hunts Point Drawbridge. And if you're coming in off Long Island this morning, we've got some westbound construction on the southern state, a couple lanes blocked out by Nassau Road. This report is sponsored by Spectrum Business. Starting a new business? Tune in to free webinars designed to help get you started. Brought to you by The Score, the nation's largest network of volunteer business mentors, and Spectrum Business. Register at spectrumbusinessinsights.com/webinars. I'm Jeff Fromm from the WABC Traffic Center.
Thank you, Jeff. RIP to the Keystone Pipeline. Frank will tell you about that in his business report. And in your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40. Okay, so you have booked your summer cruise. Will you actually be able to go? There's a major tug of war going on between Florida's governor and Texas governor and the CDC, and cruise lines and passengers are freaking out. They're caught in the middle. I've got three tips for passengers that are actually booked on a summer cruise, especially if you're booked for one departing within the next month.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
Well, stocks were down yesterday. The Dow Jones lost 152 points. The S&P 500 fell 8 points. And the NASDAQ dipped 13 points. But a lot of the story had to do with energy yesterday, namely the Keystone Pipeline. The company behind the Keystone XL Pipeline is officially scrapping the project. Canada-based TC Energy decided to pull out after President Biden revoked its permit earlier this year. The company promised to make sure they safely exit the project. The Keystone Pipeline was slated to carry oil from Canada through Montana, South Dakota, and Nebraska for the Gulf Coast. It was opposed by environmentalists. And the National Retail Federation is predicting the U.S. will see a quicker-than-expected recovery as the coronavirus pandemic comes to an end. Retail sales are expected to grow by 13.5% to just over $4 trillion in 2021. The trade group estimates this could be the fastest growth in retail sales the U.S. has seen since 1984, Juliet.
Time for your Jet Set Juliet travel update. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Jet Set Juliet. Galveston, we have a problem. The governors of both Florida and now Texas are banning businesses, including cruise lines, from requiring passengers to show proof that they've been vaxxed, right? Well, Florida's Ron DeSantis threatened to fine cruise companies $5,000, as you know, I've told you this before, for each person asked to show their vaccination documents. That caused Royal Caribbean International to reverse their plan, so now they're just asking you to show up with a negative test. Well, Carnival Cruise Line's plan to require vaccination proof is staying as is, at least as of Wednesday. Other cruise companies are saying, forget it, DeSantis and Texas Governor Greg Abbott. The CDC says we don't embark unless our crew and passengers are vaccinated, so we defy you. And that's because sailings are contingent on a pass from the CDC. So now we're effectively at an impasse. The leaders of Florida and Texas on one side, the CDC on the other, and the cruise industry, which has been decimated these last 18 months, stuck right in the middle. And that means you are stuck in the middle, too, if you've got plans on a cruise ship. Now, Carnival says it's working with Florida officials and should have more information for anxious passengers who plan their summer vacations around these trips by tomorrow, hopefully sooner. So it's not just the two lines I mentioned, Carnival and Royal Caribbean. Every cruise line leaving from Texas and Florida is in a very precarious spot, unfortunately. But assuming Florida, Texas, the CDC, and the cruise industry have some sort of kumbaya moment real soon, here are the plans for sailings. Disney has one simulation cruise approved, but the rest are suspended or canceled at least through July. MSC Cruises plans to set sail from Miami to the Bahamas at the beginning of August, but it's just one ship, the Maravilla. The rest will likely set sail in the beginning of September from both Miami and Port Canaveral. So they're just basically saying, forget it. Forget, you know, the U.S. I know a lot of you love Norwegian's easy breezy trips from New York to Bermuda. Those start up again at the end of September. So if you don't mind flying down to Miami, you can jump on the Gem, which is set to set sail August 15th. Other Norwegian ships will sail from L.A. to Mexico in October and Port Canaveral to the Caribbean in November. Royal Caribbean International has a ship sailing from, or ships sailing from ports in Florida and Texas and Seattle. Those go to Alaska starting in July and August. And Silver Sea Cruises will sail from Seattle to Alaska in late July. Celebrities ships will begin to set sail from Florida later this month. As of Tuesday, the line still hadn't told us how they were going to deal with Governor Ron DeSantis' mandate against so-called vaccine passports. They say they're working with him and hope to come to some sort of agreement soon. So look, if you are planning a cruise vacation out of Florida or Texas in the very near future, like within the next month or so, I'm going to give you three pieces of very, very wise advice. Number one, stay on top of the news. Know exactly what's going on and what exactly is going to be required of you to get on board. Number two, be on notice if you are someone who only felt safe booking a cruise on a ship that required proof of vaccination. And I know a lot of you did. That was the only reason you said you'd ever go on a cruise again. If that's the case, I would highly suggest coming up with a game plan should they change those rules to allow for non-vaccinated passengers. Number three, anyone taking a cruise in the next month should have an option B, period. In this case, in my opinion, unnecessary and unfair drama between the governors of Texas and Florida and the CDC derails your trip. I am really concerned for people who have trips planned. I mean, this is just going to mess people up. I'm not feeling hopeful about this. I hope I'm wrong. If you're still not keen on booking a cruise quite yet, I don't blame you. But there is one thing to maybe entice you to book a little bit later. In honor of the recent Friends reunion, Celebrity Cruises has announced a Friends-themed curated sailing, the Celebrity Equinox, which is a beautiful ship, one I've sailed twice. It is going to be setting upon the high seas May 15th of next year with 500 fans for what they're calling the one when they went on a cruise. Passengers will eat like Joey, joke like Chandler, cook like Monica, shop like Rachel, yoga like Phoebe, and dig like Ross. That's what they say, according to the website. You can dress as your favorite friend. They'll have contests, trivia games, and more on the seven-day trip from Fort Lauderdale to Key West, Grand Cayman, and Cozumel. And that is your Jet Set Julia travel update. I'm Juliet, Jet Set Juliet.
All right, 5:45, time to check in with the number 26th ranked talk show team in the country. The one half of the Bernie and Sid show, Sid Rosenberg.
Thank you very much. Yes, number 26, the Heavy 100 in Talkers Magazine. So thanks for that, Michael Harrison. Let's start with the Islanders. Here, the big story today. They're now one series win away from playing for the Stanley Cup. How about that? Beat the Bruins last night 6-2. Brock Nelson scored twice. That series is over in six. And now the Islanders set their sights on Tampa Bay, who won it all last year. Here's Josh Bailey on Moving On.
I thought everyone in the lineup was contributing and playing the way we needed to play to get the win, and certainly happy to move on. Again, I think we feel like we still have some unfinished business, so we'll enjoy it tonight, and then we'll start getting ready.
Josh Bailey, the Islanders again, one series win away over Tampa for playing for the Stanley Cup. Mets came out bashing the ball last night, six home runs. Matt Harvey's career may be over, the former Met, because of the Mets. They've now clobbered him twice in the last month, pitching to a 7-plus ERA for the season and over 14 the last couple of weeks. Pete Alonso homered twice, Billy McKinney homered twice. T'Juan Walker gave the Mets seven solid innings, and they blew out the Orioles 14-1. The Mets are now 30-24. 3.5 up on Atlanta, 4 up on the Phillies. They enjoy a day off today before hosting the San Diego Padres with Sid Rosenberg and Bill O'Reilly in attendance coming up tomorrow night. The Yankees also went home run ball, 4 of them last night, 2 for Stanton, 1 for Judge, 1 for Red Hot Miguel Andujar. And they beat Minnesota 9-6 behind 7 strong from Gerrit Cole. He earned his 7th win of the year. Here was Aaron Boone, the skipper, after the win.
That's what an ace does. You know, Garrett's with a guy that in any big situation, anything, any noise, you know, big games, he always picks it up a notch. You know, that's what we saw tonight.
Yankees improved to 33-29. They're in third inside the American League East right now, 5.5 behind Tampa, 4 behind Boston. And finally, NBA last night in the Western Conference, the Suns blew out the Nuggets, 123-98. That series is 2-0 Phoenix. And your Brooklyn Nets back on the court tonight in Milwaukee against the Bucks, already with a commanding 2-0 lead in that series. But again, the big story is today, the Islanders on their way to the Eastern Conference Finals. Sports at 15:45, brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out, peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. With sports, I'm Sid.
5:47 with traffic. Here's Jeff Fromm.
Well, just a heads up right now, if you're heading out of Queens at the Triborough Bridge, we are getting reports of police activity right near the beginning of the span as you come in off the Grand Central. Looks like two lanes are going to be blocked here and a lot of stop and go east of the BQE. There is also a wreck on the Southern State Parkway. A lot of traffic coming in off Long Island this morning. That westbound crash on the Southern State blocks two lanes right around exit number 19. And better news on the Cross Bronx Expressway. They have finally cleared away an eastbound wreck near the Sheridan. Traffic still very slow coming in off the GWB this morning. No waiting at the tolls, but a lot of stop and go on the upper deck. This report is sponsored by Spectrum Business. Starting a new business? Tune in for free webinars designed to help you get started. Brought to you by The Score, the nation's largest network of volunteer business mentors, and Spectrum Business. Register at SpectrumBusinessInsights.com/webinars. I'm Jeff Fromm from the WABC Traffic Center.
Thank you, Jeff. Eric Adams, who is running for mayor, breaks down literally in tears. I will tell you why.
This is the WABC Early News.
WABC Early News time is 5:49. Eric Adams, as I told you, is running for the Democratic governorship. He is
mayor.
Mayor, rather. Yes, sorry. Yeah, I just got distracted because I was just looking at the video. He really got emotional and clearly is feeling the heat as we get close to the Democratic primary race for mayor. His opponents have been questioning whether he lives in Brooklyn or New Jersey. Okay, obviously, if you're going to be running for New York City mayor, you can't live in New Jersey. So when he was questioned yesterday, he openly began to cry. His son was standing with him. They were in front of a apartment building that he's owned in Bed-Stuy. He's owned, I guess, for 20 years. And he started to finally explain as to why he's been so secretive about where he lives. He's like, look, this is my family. I signed up for this. They didn't sign up for this. He doesn't want them to be involved. He also talked about how he had lost a lot of weight and he is on a vegan diet. He talked about sleeping in the middle of Brooklyn Borough Hall during the pandemic. And he also gave folks a tour of his home where he lives with his girlfriend in New Jersey, where his girlfriend lives in New Jersey. But he was basically saying, look, I miss my girlfriend. I don't get to see her. And he said it's just really silly to insinuate that somebody who is running for mayor doesn't live in New York. And apparently his neighbors came out and they vouched for him. One guy said he's glad to have him as a neighbor. He sees him all the time. And another said he's a good neighbor and one that you would like to have living next to you. So Eric Adams seemingly very emotional and very tired of the drama that I think, you know, sometimes these politicians have to deal with and the anger and the vitriol when they are running for a high office.
And last night on the Don Lemon program, Eric Adams was asked by Don Lemon if he would agree to Andrew Yang's request that Eric Adams release all of his Easy Pass data to prove or his Easy Pass records to prove that he doesn't live in New Jersey with his girlfriend. And he indicated that he would. He said he would indicate he would release that Easy Pass information right away.
All right. Well, there you go. It seems to me that that answers the question.
A rare bottle of champagne that was bottled before the sinking of the Titanic is going to auction. Ooh. Acker, the nation's oldest and largest wine auction house, plans to sell 877 bottles of vintage champagne this week. One of the bottles is a Brut Imperial Moet and Chandon dating back to 1911. The special bottle was produced before World War I and before Einstein published his theory of general relativity. The entire collection is expected to sell for an estimated $10 million and features vintage champagne from 1911 to 1943.
Well, how dare she hand out cookies? Vice President Kamala Harris, she is not having the best week, I've got to say. She's been lambasted from all sides for her somewhat, shall we say, cranky attitude towards reporters when she was asked about her work at the border, or lack thereof. And now she's being trolled mercilessly for her personally giving out personalized cookies to reporters on Air Force One. The outrage stems from the person on said personalized treats, Harris herself. It's like, you know, one of these cookies that has like little picture of Harris. A GOP candidate accused her of being narcissistic. A radio host called her a weirdo and deemed it extremely disturbing behavior. I mean, are you kidding me? Really? Good Lord. No good deed goes unpunished, Frank.
Yeah, people love cookies.
It's a cookie. It has her picture on it. She just decided she was going to hand it out instead of somebody else. They're flying on the Air Force Two, for goodness sake.
I think it's a wonderful thing that people have so much time to worry about such things.
So do I. Good
That's
Lord.
Great. For NYPD officers are, four NYPD officers are among 12 people affected by a chemical irritant being used during a dispute between neighbors inside a Staten Island building. Cops were on the scene at 220 Osgood Avenue just after 6:30 last night, and they report that a female was hit with what was possibly pepper spray with residue spilling into the residence and into the hallway. In addition to the police officers, two adults and six children were also affected by the substance. All were taken to Richmond University Medical Center and are in stable condition. The investigation is ongoing.
Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene, she is an unabashed conspiracy theorist, and once again, she is going out there bashing science. We're going to get to that in a moment, and threatening America's top virologist. Listen to what she had to say.
Dr. Anthony Fauci needs to get a lawyer because he is liable. I believe he's liable, criminally liable, for what has happened with COVID-19. That's why I wrote the Fauci Act and introduced it back in early April. Fire Fauci.
On a podcast earlier this week, the Georgia rep also attacked the science-based theory of evolution, saying she doesn't believe in it. She believes in God, and using air quotes around the word evolution. According to a 2019 poll, though, she's not alone. An estimated 40% of Americans think God created humans as told in the Bible.
A parent and teacher at a private school in Bergen County, New Jersey, is quitting because she doesn't want to teach critical race theory, calling it racist. Dana Stengel Plow has been teaching English at Dwight Englewood School since 2014, but says it's now going against its mission of teaching about race. Stengel Plow alleged that the head of the school separated teachers by color and threatened to fire the entire faculty and replace them with people of color.
Oh, well, how nice. You might have missed this, but Tuesday, Frank, was World Oceans Day. Unfortunately, I will not be able to celebrate till next week when I fly over one. But National Geographic is toasting it by using the moment to identify a fifth ocean, Frank. It's called the Southern Ocean, and it's the body surrounding Antarctica.
Oh.
Yeah. Nat Geo says they made the decision to highlight SOO. You know, Southern Ocean. That's my thing. So because of the wildlife, the current, and the ecological features that distinguish it from the big four, Atlantic, Arctic, Indian, and Pacific. Now, I'd heard of this SOO before, but apparently, even though it's been recognized by some scientists, there was really never any sort of international agreement about it. Nat Geo feels welcoming SOO into the Big Four, essentially creating a Big Five, will help draw attention to its unique needs and maybe get it some attention, some research, and some funding.
A new study says laughing gas can help treat depression. A small clinical trial published yesterday found that people who inhaled nitrous oxide reported improvements in their depression symptoms. It also found that people who took a smaller dose felt similar improvements to those who took a larger one, but with fewer side effects. A head researcher at the University of Chicago said it's unlikely that pharmaceutical companies would be interested in the treatment, though, as there is no patent for laughing gas.
Oh, wow. I thought that messed up your brain or something.
Well, I guess those are some of the...
Oh, it's not the Whippets or anything like that.
Well, I think it actually might be. I think that is nitrous oxide.
Yeah, right? I mean, well, okay. We'll discuss another time after I get my degree in medicine. But for now, let's head over to Traffic on the Sevens with Jeff Rome.
Well, there is still some residual volume at the inbound George Washington Bridge, but getting better. They have cleared away a crash on the Cross Bronx Expressway out by the Sheridan. And apart from that volume, we're looking okay at the tolls and still no waiting at the Holland or Lincoln tunnels. Now, traffic in New Jersey, very tough right now on the turnpike with a southbound crash as you head down to the Gothels Bridge exit 13. That'll be in the outer roadway. It's an overturned tractor trailer, and it partially blocks the off-ramp there at 13, so keep your eyes out for police activity. And still a big jam on the Southern State Parkway due to a westbound crash out by exit 19. This report is sponsored by Indeed.com. Not to be a backseat driver, but if you need to hire great people fast, you need Indeed. Sponsor a job and you'll immediately get a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. More at Indeed.com/credit. I'm Jeff Fromm from the WABC Traffic Center.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Let's get to your Ramsey Mazda Weather Center forecast. Today, we're looking at 82 degrees with sun and clouds mixed. Should be a really nice day, and the humidity is going to be low. So that's fantastic. Tomorrow, we're looking at 73 degrees, 46% humidity, some clouds, maybe a pop of sun here and there. Saturday, mostly cloudy skies with some sun popping out again, 73 degrees, and the humidity starts to increase a bit. Sunday, well, it's increasing because we've got rain coming in Sunday and Sunday night. We're going to be having showers throughout the day and evening. And by Monday, we should have a shower in the morning, partly cloudy skies in the afternoon. Currently, the temperature in Huntington is 71 degrees, Frank.
All right. Well, we have a whole bunch more news coming your way. Sid Rosenberg is going to give us a preview of what's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show. And I'll tell you about President Biden's meeting overseas today. Who's he meeting with and why? Dr. Fauci is under fire. I have his response to his critics. And the wife of one of the world's most infamous drug lords has come to a decision about how she's going to handle her defense. I'll tell you about that. And
I was actually just going to jump in with the headline of all headlines. You know, Crocs.
Oh, are you talking about the heeled Crocs?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
$1,000. Did you see what I posted on my
Twitter? I did. Yeah.
At Jet Set Juliet. Crocs high heels, $1,000. $1,000 for Crocs?
That seems...
It's the, like rubber.
A little unreasonable. It almost strikes me as one of those things where people price it that way just to get publicity.
Well, they teamed up with Balenciaga. So, I mean, that just, you know, adds $1,000 to the price.
Terrible.
Right there. Crazy. Crazy what these people pay for this stuff.
A whole lot more news coming your way in the next 30 minutes. This is the WABC Early News straight ahead.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
6:03. Good morning, everyone. Congratulations to you. It is almost Friday, and congratulations to my partner, Juliet Huddy, who was named yesterday as a recipient of the prestigious Gracie Award. I'm Frank Moreno. This is the WABC Early News.
You're so sweet. Well, you are on the Talkers Heavy 100 list, which is Talkers Magazine is the Bible for radio. And this is the first time that you have hit the top 100 list. So I am very proud of you.
Thank you very much.
And also Bernie and Sid have hit it again. So, you know, we're just kicking, you know what, and taking names here
Absolutely.
At WABC.
Absolutely.
Very happy about
Quite
it.
A bit happening in the news, and we'll tell you about it throughout the next half hour. But if you want to get paid $10,000 for not being a grill master, Reynolds Wrap may have some good news for you. Reynolds Wrap is actually looking for someone who doesn't know how to cook or even burn food. The aluminum foil brand wants to hire a rookie griller. The gig also comes with expert lessons just in time for summer. Those interested need to send in a photo of their biggest grill fail and the story behind it by June 18th. The winner will be notified through email on June 28th.
All right, we've got another update. This one is on a story we brought you earlier this week. Amazon's Jeff Bezos says he and his brother, and an auction winner apparently, are going to be taking off for the stars next month on his company's new Shepard spacecraft. The mission will launch from Blue Origin, that's his company, Space Command in Texas on July 20th, which happens to be the anniversary of the Apollo landing back in 1969. We thought this was a big own by the billionaire, frankly, because Sir Richard Branson was also hoping to be the first zillionaire to crack space. But now there is word that July 20th, that launch, may be usurped. Virgin Galactic is apparently trying to get Sir Richard B. up over the July 4th weekend. So it is truly becoming a galactic battle of the egos. And I am cheering for Sir Richard Branson.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's very exciting. And I think this is the future of space travel, really. It's more of these private sector folks like Elon Musk and Richard Branson. So it's going to be interesting.
I love Richard Branson. I wish he would invite me to his private island.
I think you guys would get along.
Oh, I think we'd. He would love my husband.
I'm sure. They both have beards.
Yeah, long ones.
Speaking of space, the former head of a government program involving UFOs claims U.S. nuclear facilities have been forced to go offline because of UFOs. Luis Elizondo is the former director of the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, which was created in 2007 to investigate Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon, or UAPs. Elizondo spoke Tuesday with the Washington Post and was asked about the UAP sightings above nuclear weapons facilities. He claimed there have been incidents where UAPs have interfered and actually brought offline our nuclear capabilities. Huh. Top U.S. officials will release a report to Congress about UFOs later this month.
It is time now for a check of traffic on the sevens with Jeff Froman for Joe Nolan.
Jeff.
Jeffrey. Hello?
Jeff.
Anyone? I'm going to tell you it's bad out there.
It's still going to be a rough ride getting out of Queens at the Triborough Bridge this morning. Police activity blocks two lanes at the start of the span as you head in off the Grand Central. A lot of traffic stretching back to the BQE right now. BQE getting busy in Brooklyn. Inbound delays coming up the Gowanus from 39th Street through Industry City right up to the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel. And some volume already on the LIE through Queens west of the Cross Island out to about Utopia Parkway, and more slowdowns between the Van Wyck and Woodhaven Boulevard. Also delays coming in off Long Island with a westbound wreck on the Southern State Parkway, two lanes blocked by exit 19. This report is sponsored by Spectrum Business. Starting a new business? Tune in to free webinars designed to help you get started, brought to you by The Score, the nation's largest network of volunteer business mentors, and Spectrum Business. Register at SpectrumBusinessInsights.com/webinars. I'm Jeff Fromm from the WABC Traffic Center.
Thank you, Jeff, from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. It's going to be a really nice day, 82 degrees, mild humidity, and pretty much sun. We have some clouds popping around there, too, but it looks really nice. Friday, again, a nice day temperature-wise, 72 degrees, although we will see increasing clouds. On Saturday, the clouds move away. We have partly cloudy skies in the morning and some sun popping out here and there. A high of 73. Sunday, showers. Showers start in the evening or afternoon, evening. They go into Monday morning, and by Monday afternoon, we should have just cloudy skies, no more rain. Currently, the temperature right now in New York City is 76 degrees, Frank.
Well, details are emerging on Don McGahn's testimony to a House panel last week regarding former President Trump and the Russia investigation. On Wednesday, transcripts showed McGahn, the former White House counsel, detailing Trump's response to the ongoing probe. In it, the former chief lawyer for the president mentioned that Trump's handling of the investigation almost reached, quote, to a point of no return. He noted a number of instances where Trump attempted to influence or remove the probe.
An update, Frank, on the French slapper. And it sounds like some sort of toy, but it's not. I'm talking about the guy who slapped French President Emmanuel Macron in the face the other day. We're finding a little more info about this cat. He is quite a character, I have to say, literally. He goes by the name Damien T. He's 28 years old. He's apparently one of these Renaissance festival people.
Huh.
He dresses as a knight. Slapping is not very chivalrous, I must say. Damien, come on. He also reportedly lives with his mum, and he likes to read Mein Kampf. French police say he doesn't quite have a handle on politics. They call his beliefs, quote, ideological mush.
None of what you just said surprises me. The Renaissance Festival,
yes,
the Mein Kampf,
yes,
and the living with his mother, none of that surprised me in the least.
Nope. Did it surprise you that it wasn't some sort of toy?
Maybe.
The French slapper? I don't know. Sorry, that was inappropriate for 6 a.m.
Well, that's all right. Israel is banning the sale of fur to the fashion industry. Israel's environmental protection minister signed an amendment Wednesday banning the sale of fur and said the amendment will make the Israeli fashion market more environmentally friendly and kinder to animals. The ban goes into effect in 6 months. The move was praised by the animal rights group PETA, which tweeted that Israel is the first country in the world to ban the sale of fur.
A fascinating discovery in, of all places, San Diego. A long-lost letter from Amelia Earhart's navigator could provide clues as to what happened to Earhart and Captain Fred Noonan when they disappeared 84 years ago somewhere in the Pacific Ocean. Now, this letter was sent from Indonesia by one particular letter was sent from Indonesia by Noonan just 8 days before they disappeared. Hunter Person, that's the name of a guy, Hunter Person, he says he first learned about this letter when he was a kid. His mom apparently found them in her father's old roll desk around 40 years ago out in San Diego. Captain Noonan was an old family friend, and he and the father had been exchanging letters for years. There are actually four letters, and they span the years between 1935 and 37. Person, Mr. Hunter Person, brought them to the San Diego Air and Space Museum, realizing they'd probably be of interest. They were. A museum official says the letter could contain clues that could help solve one of life's greatest mysteries.
Well, Trenton's top cop is now out of a job. Mayor W. Reed Gushura announced yesterday that Trenton Police Department Director Sheila A. Coley has been terminated. The mayor says Coley served the city during its most trying times, but his administration has decided to go in a different direction. Captain James Slack, a 30-year veteran with the police department, will take over the position as officials evaluate other candidates.
Well, apparently, according to Sarah Lee Kessler, there is a new weapon in the war against obesity, and it is apparently the first. This is interesting. I'm curious to hear this one. The first since 2014. Here's Sarah.
It's called Wegovy and is manufactured by Danish pharmaceutical giant Novo Nordisk. The FDA has approved the drug for people who are overweight or obese and have at least one weight-related medical condition. Patients on Wegovy lost an average of 17% of their body weight in a 16-month study. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler for 77 WABC News.
Thank you. She is going so slow right at the end there. I wonder if that's a thing.
A lot of people in the social media community have observed that as well.
I wonder if that's like her shtick. Like, you know, your thing is saying words weird.
I have a lot of things.
Well, don't we all? But maybe that's her thing now. WABC News.
Right. It's like I'm Sid almost.
Yeah. Right. I got to come up with
something. I get it. It's a hallmark. I get
it. Yeah. The hotly anticipated Pirelli calendar has chosen its photographer. Now, are you familiar with this calendar?
Not in the least.
Really? Well, listen to this. Well, first of all, its photographer is none other than Bryan Adams. That Bryan Adams. Yes, the singer. Now, if you're not familiar, like Frank, with this calendar, it was launched back in the 1960s by the Italian Pirelli Tire Company, and it quickly became sort of like the haven for high-profile celebs and celebrity shooters, with one shooter each year to photograph the famed pinup pics of some of the world's most glamorous women. Last year's calendar was canceled due to the pandemic, but the one before, the previous edition, titled Looking for Juliet, as a matter of fact, featured Italian photographer Paolo Reversi and his take on the doomed Shakespeare character, and he focused on the inner strength and femininity and tenderness of his glamorous female subjects. The Canadian singer, Mr. Adams, has made somewhat of a name for himself of late. Really, in the last 10 years, he's actually become a professional photographer.
Wow.
With his shots of everyone from Amy Winehouse to the Queen. So he is going to be the photographer at large at this for this year's calendar.
Sports with Sid Rosenberg in just a minute, but Republican voters across New York City are getting taped robocalls from former Mayor Rudy Giuliani telling them that they should vote for...
Hi, this is Rudy Giuliani, and I'm calling you on behalf of my great friend Curtis Sliwa, who's running in the Republican primary on June 22nd. When I ran for mayor, Curtis and the Guardian Angels were there to help me win, and then they were there to help me reduce crime and make our city livable again. Now, you know what de Blasio's done to the city. We need Curtis. He's the right man at the right time in the right place.
Sliwa.
I'm voting for Curtis Sliwa and asking you to do the same.
Sliwa's biggest Republican opponent, Fernando Mateo, reportedly met with former President Trump last week, hoping Trump would endorse him in the Republican mayoral primary.
Interesting. All right. Well, it is time now for Sid Rosenberg, a.k.a. Hollywood, a.k.a. Sid, and his sports report. Sidney.
Good morning, Juliet. Islanders are one series win away from playing for the Stanley Cup. This is huge. They win last night, beat the Bruins 6-2, the final score. Brock Nelson scored two goals along the way, and in six games, the Islanders eliminated Boston. They will move on, take on the Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning next for the right to represent their conference in the Stanley Cup. Here was Brock Nelson after last night's win.
I don't think anybody has been sitting here thinking about revenge on Tampa. Just trying to take it each game, each series, one at a time. Now we can kind of turn the page and turn our focus to them. They're obviously a great team, defending champs here again. So it'll be a good battle.
That's Christian Arnold's team, folks. The Mets blew out the Orioles last night, beat them 14-1, hit six home runs along the way. I should say six home runs. A couple for Pete Alonso, Billy McKinney, Mason Williams, and Kevin Pillar as well. It was Pillar after the win.
With everything that's been going on, it doesn't necessarily feel like that all the time as far as, you know, feeling like we're a first-place team. I think our mindset and our confidence kind of resembles that.
Well, they are a first-place team. Again, T'Juan Walker, a big effort last night. Mets win 14-1 for the second time in a month. They clobbered old friend Matt Harvey. He's in big trouble. And the Mets are now with 30-24, enjoying a 3.5-game lead over the Braves and a 4-game lead over the Phillies atop the NL East. Yankees had four home runs last night, a couple for Stanton, one for George, one for Andujar. And behind Garrett Cole's seventh win, they beat Minnesota 9-6. The Yanks are now 4 games over 500, good enough for third place inside the American League East. NBA last night, Western Conference. Suns blew out the Nuggets 123-98. That series has Phoenix up 2-0. The Brooklyn Nets are back on the court tonight. Game 3, road game in Milwaukee against the Bucks. Brooklyn up 2-0 in that series. But again, the big story today, the Islanders on their way to take on Tampa Bay for the right to represent their conference in the Stanley Cup Finals. Sports at 15:45, brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. PeerlessBoilers.com, PavilionTankless.com. They do build America's best boilers with sports. I'm Sid.
617 with traffic and transit on the 7s. In for Joe Nolan today. Here's Jeff Frum.
A few issues in New Jersey right now. If you're going to be heading westbound on Route 80 out through Alamuchi, we've got a crash just beyond exit 12. Two lanes are blocked. And also on Route 24 westbound heading out to JFK Parkway, adjacent to the Short Hills Mall, they've got a couple lanes shut down for a crash involving an overturned tractor trailer. And there's also an overturned tractor trailer on the southbound turnpike. It partially blocks the off-ramp at exit 13. That's for the Goffles Bridge. Still a lot of tough traffic coming in off Long Island this morning, too, with a westbound wreck on the southern state. Two lanes blocked by exit 19. This report is sponsored by UPSJobs.com. Ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $20 per hour in an active job you'll take pride in. Enjoy big-time growth opportunities with Team UPS. Search and apply now at UPSJobs.com/Secaucus. I'm Jeff Fromm from the WABC Traffic
Center. Mazda Weather Center. It's going to be a pretty nice day. Temperature-wise, 82 degrees with a mix of clouds and sun. Friday, we're looking at cloudy skies. A really cool day, 72 degrees, at least for this time of year, with pretty nice humidity, low levels of humidity. Saturday, partly cloudy skies in the morning, and we'll get some possibly sun breaking through throughout the day. Again, 73 degrees. By Sunday, we're going to be having some clouds in the morning, then on and off again, rain showers throughout the afternoon and through the night into the morning on Monday. But by Monday afternoon, we should have just clouds, no more rain. Currently, the temperature in New York City is 76 degrees, Frank.
All three stock markets were down yesterday. We'll see what happens today. Tesla is rolling out its long-awaited Plaid Spec Model S this evening. It's the latest performance upgrade for the luxury electric vehicle. Tesla says the Plaid Model S has a top speed of 200 miles an hour and goes from 0 to 60 in under 2 seconds. The grand entrance of the Plaid Model S begins at 7 p.m. Pacific at Tesla's factory in Fremont, California, near San Francisco. It will be streamed on CNET.com. And the world's largest meat company is revealing just how much it cost to resolve a recent ransomware attack. JBS USA announced it paid $11 million in Bitcoin to prevent any potential risk for customers. JBS notes that most of its facilities were operational at the time of payment. The company had to temporarily pause production at its plants because of the cyber attack. It impacted facilities in North America and Australia. Julianne.
It's 6:20 right now on the early news. Let's do some more headlines, shall we?
Well, why don't we get a preview of what's coming up on the Bernie and Sid
show? I would rather not.
Would you?
I would rather not.
I don't blame you. It's very intimidating with the 26th most influential talk show host.
That's what I was going to say. I wanted to do the headline of the VSU. They are number 26 on Talkers, which is the Bible of radio. Sid and Bernie, Bernie and Sid come in 26. Frank has broken in for the first time in his career. He is in the 90s, but I guarantee in the next year's edition, he is going to be in the top 25. I have zero doubt on that.
Oh, I'd bet against that. Oh, my God. In a heartbeat, I'd bet against that.
You shouldn't be betting anymore, Sid.
No, you're right. Yeah, but I'd actually win this one.
Yes.
Oh, my God. You know what? I'm going to bet you, Sid. Let's
no,
bet $100.
No,
listen.
No.
It has nothing to do with Frank's talent. He's immensely talented, but no overnight show ever makes the top 50.
Well, you know what? Frank's will because...
Well, I mean, in fairness, George Norrie did make the top 20.
Oh, that's true. He did. Yeah. Listen, I got to tell you, I'm very unhappy with the 26th place finish. Now, look, the good news is that when you look at that list, which is nonsense, it means nothing, Michael Harrison is a sweetheart of a guy. I love him, and me and Juliet will both be there tomorrow at this big conference. But I believe we're the only local show. The other 25 shows ahead of us are all syndicated, all of them.
That's huge.
It is huge. From Hannity to Levin to Kill Me to
Howard
all these
Stern.
Shows. Stern, number 11. So we are the only, I believe, local show to make the top 26. It says a lot about
that. It does say. So why are you even...
Well, I mean, come on. We should be much higher than that. We have a tremendous amount of influence in this industry. Tremendous amount. We're in New York. We're doing a morning show at a huge station. I mean, some of these folks, you'll go to that list. I never even heard of these people. Never heard of them. Mm. But it is what it is. We'll take it. So thank you for bringing that up. Bill O'Reilly's going to stop by today. He's on every Thursday, obviously. He and I are going to go to the Met game tomorrow night. We're going to see the Mets and the Padres.
Is that true?
I swear to God.
Together.
Jacob DeGrom on the mound in Queens. He got tickets. He asked, I could take my son if I want, Gabriel. So that I think he's our only guest today. But we have so much to discuss, basically our 26th place finish, me taping Wendy Williams today. A lot going on that no one really cares about.
I also can't wait to hear your review of yesterday's controller debate.
Well, look, Corey Johnson, I thought, stood up pretty well. He was attacked all day, a barrage from just about everybody. I think he stood up pretty well. So.
You gotta expect that when you're the front runner, right?
I would think so, yes. So, and I think he did a good job as a front runner protecting himself.
I love that guy.
You love him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he's your choice.
Yeah.
Eric Adams will probably join us tomorrow. Of course, I've gotten 90 phone calls from Eric Ulrich already, promising me every couple of days Eric is coming on, but he always finds a way not to. So we'll see about Eric possibly showing up tomorrow. We will talk about that, obviously, the mayoral race and all that good stuff going on. Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, plenty of sports on today's show. The Islanders, that's a big story. You know, they're not going to play on Long Island anymore. This is the last year for that. In fact, Congressman Peter King, our friend, he actually signed the lease when the Islanders started playing hockey at the Nassau Coliseum a decade before they won those four Stanley Cups. And now they're one series win away. Now, it's a tough series. Tampa Bay won it all last year. But if they could beat the Lightning, the Islanders will be back in the Stanley Cup Finals. How about that?
Two quick questions I have. One, are you coming tomorrow night to the post-reception that Juliet and I are co-hosting?
Not if it's with Bill O'Reilly.
Right. by the way, Chris Arnold makes a good point. They'll still be on Long Island at that new Belmont place. You're right. Will I be coming to that event tomorrow? Yes.
You will?
Yeah.
So you're going to go hang out with us, then go to the Met game?
Correct.
Right. You're coming to our... The reception,
the post-reception reception.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow.
See, it's across the street.
Exactly.
How many excuses can I possibly use?
Yeah, exactly. How many times have you failed us with the Friars Club?
That's right. Every single time.
And then you've been chronicling these Matt Harvey issues that he has with the Mets. Yeah. Obviously, he was supposed to be the next Nolan Ryan with the Mets. Do you think part of the problem that he has in getting beaten up by the Mets is psychological?
No, because he's getting beaten up by everybody. Uh-huh. I mean, the Mets beat the hell out of him twice, yes. But in his last four or five outings, he's pitching to a 14 ERA. He's pitching to an over 7 ERA for the season. It's not exclusive to the Mets. But you're right. This was the next Tom Seaver, the next Dwight Gooden, started in an All-Star game, pitched in the World Series. And the New York nightlife just killed him. It really, and that girl killed him. What's the girlfriend of the Patriots, former wide receiver, yeah, Julian Edelman.
Right.
She broke his heart. So he's never been the same. It's like Andy Gibb after Victoria Principal. A lot of cocaine in the grave, that's the end of that.
Twas beauty that killed the beast.
Wow.
Yeah, how about
that's
that, Julia?
Throwback, yeah. It was nice.
Thank you. Well, so that's the big show coming up today.
What was that?
That's the big show coming up today.
Well, it sounds fantastic.
I'll be listening. Absolutely.
I must say that that preview was brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Borders. Check them out, Juliet and Frank, at peerlessborders.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best borders.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to getting one of those tankless boilers myself. Juliet, keeping up with the Kardashians is coming to an end.
Oh, darn.
The popular reality series has been on the E! Network since 2006, following the Kardashian-Jenner clan for 20 seasons. Tonight, the final episode of the series will air at 8 p.m. Eastern. Fans of the Kardashians will still have new shows to look forward to in the near future. The Kardashian family has signed a deal to develop new shows for Hulu to be distributed worldwide on Disney's Star service.
Well, I mean, can they make any more money? I think that show, as much as I want to hate it, and I cringe every time I think of the Kardashians.
No, it's a great show.
The fact is,
great show.
They are brilliant business people from top down to bottom. They are. And I do have to say, I'm not a fan of Kim Kardashian, but that girl works her butt off. She really does.
Well, she hasn't worked the butt off. She still has a very, very large butt.
But that's true. Sorry. How silly of me. Yeah. I mean, she's a hard worker. They all are. So, you got to give them credit, I guess.
Absolutely. Well, this has been fun, Juliet.
It has been fun. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. I'm very excited about our Talkers event.
Me too.
Post-reception reception. I'm definitely excited about that. Yes, yes. See everybody tomorrow. Make sure you stay safe and bring your umbrellas.
Listen to Bernie and Sid featuring Bill O'Reilly. Jeff Frohm is next with traffic and transit on the 7s. Have a great day, everybody.
Well, they have yet to clear away police department activity coming in off the Grand Central Parkway as you head out to the Triborough Bridge this morning. So if you're heading out of Queens at the Triborough, it's going to be a rough ride. Two lanes are still shut down right at the beginning of the span. Also in Queens, traffic on the LIE gets slow into the fairgrounds with westbound delays out to Woodhaven Boulevard and more traffic at the Kosciusko Bridge out of Queens into Brooklyn. Now, inbound Gowanus BQE combo, it's been a slow ride through Industry City. Delays kick in right near the Belt Merge and run right up to the Brooklyn Bridge. And also expect a lot of tough traffic coming in in off Long Island. Westbound delays on the Southern State start right near the Meadowbrook and go out to exit 19, where two lanes are still blocked with a crash. And traffic at the inbound George Washington Bridge, a 10 to 15 minute delay on the upper deck, 5 minutes downstairs. From the WABC Traffic Center, I'm Jeff Fromm.